Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary.
This is Alan Cooper, Elaine Ravitch Professor of Jewish Studies Emeritus at the Jewish Theological Seminary, and this is my commentary on Parshat Shoftim. The title is, Who Was the Levite? In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 6. From the dawn of biblical criticism, the opening verses of Deuteronomy chapter 18 have played a crucial role in efforts to understand the history and development of the Israelite priesthood. It seems clear that the priestly activity described in these verses and elsewhere in Deuteronomy varies from the accounts in the priestly sources of the Torah in Exodus through Numbers. One obvious difference is the lack of differentiation among the Levitical clans, in contrast to the primacy given to Aaron's descendants elsewhere. Other distinctive aspects of Deuteronomy's priests are summarized in JTS rabbinic alumnus Rabbi Jeffrey Tighe's superb commentary in the Jewish Publication Society Torah Commentary series. Despite the critical issues, the gist of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 1 through 8 is clear. The verses describe what Tighe calls the endowments of the clergy, meaning how they are supported considering their lack of entitlement to a landhold. The details, however, are replete with problems of interpretation. Verses 6 through 8 are particularly salient and may open a window into the behavior of Deuteronomy's clergy in early Israel. This is my translation. Should a Levite from one of your towns in Israel, where he sojourns, come with all his personal desire to the place that Hashem designates, he may serve the name of Hashem his God, like all his fellow Levites who are stationed there in Hashem's presence. They shall consume like portions, irrespective of his patrimony. The last phrase is very difficult, and see Professor Tighe's commentary for clarification. The beginning of the chapter, chapter 18, verse 1, refers to the clergy as HaKohanim HaLeviim, a strange term that first occurs in chapter 17, verses 9 and 18. A literal translation would be the priests, Levites, with a slash between them, pointing up the ambiguity of the pairing. In the historical books, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles, the two terms are separated by and in most cases, making it clear that priests and Levites are two distinct groups. Might the pairing here suggest that all Levites, the entire tribe of Levi, in chapter 18, verse 1, irrespective of specific lineage, may potentially serve as priests? Yevamot 86b reports the contrary opinion of Yehoshua ben Levi. In 24 places in the Bible, he says, the priests are called Levites, citing Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 5 as proof. Bachya ben Asher comments that the Levite cannot denote an actual Levite because chapter 18, verse 7 says, he may serve the name of Hashem his God. The priest is the one who serves, not the Levite, says Bachya, harmonizing Deuteronomy's cult functionaries with their priestly confreres. A different reading of verse 6, however, suggests that there are Levites who reside in Israelite towns, performing some Levitical functions there, who may wish to participate in the activities of the central cult site. They are authorized to do so as visitors on a par with their peers who are stationed there. The rabbis explain the actions here in relation to the 24 priestly courses, the Mishmarot, which are anachronistic for Deuteronomy. The 16th century Kabbalist Isaac Luria establishes a surprising but reasonable connection between the Levite sojourner here and the itinerant Levite who serves as a priest for Micah's private cult in Judges chapters 17 and 18. Two textual details facilitate the connection. First, the use of the singular with the definite article, the Levite, prompts traditional interpreters to seek specificity, that is, which Levite? Second, the language of sojourning, gar, is common to Judges chapter 17, verse 7, and Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 6. In Deuteronomy, v'chi yavo ha-Levi me'achad she'arecha mikol Yisrael asher hu gar sham. Should a Levite from one of your towns in Israel where he sojourns? In Judges chapter 17, verse 7, v'hi na'ar mi beit lechem Yehuda, mi mishpachat Yehuda, v'hu Levi, v'hu gar sham. There was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, from a family of Judah, who was a Levite who sojourned there. The Lurianic tradition, in his collected Likutei Torah, also quoted twice in Isaiah Horowitz's compendious Shnei Luchot HaBrit, asserts, there is here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 6, a marvelous allusion to an actual Levite, namely the young Levite who was Micah's priest. And then, based on a remarkable comment in Bava Batra 109b, Luria identifies the anonymous Levite in Judges chapter 17 with the named Levite, Jonathan ben Gershom ben Menashe, who served as priest to the Danites in Judges chapter 18, verse 30. The biblical author treats the actions of the Levites in Judges chapter 17 and 18 as beyond the pale, characteristic of the chaotic time when there was no king in Israel, Judges chapter 18, verse 1, and so forth. I would propose, rather, that while the behavior of these itinerant Levites for hire was normal in early Israel, it was condemned and superseded by the rise of centralized monarchic and priestly authority, as exemplified by the phrase, the place that Hashem designates, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 6. The case of Jonathan ben Gershom ben Menashe is extraordinary. In biblical manuscripts and printed editions, the Nun of Menashe is raised and suspended, indicating that Menashe was a substitute for Moshe, Moses. According to Rashi, for the sake of Moses' honor, the Nun was written in order to change the name, and it was suspended in order to indicate that it was not Manasseh, but Moses. So the anonymous Levite was none other than Moses' grandson. The Gemara explains that he was called Manasseh because his actions were like those of the idolatrous Judean king of that name in 2 Kings chapter 21. Now the Lurianic interpretation following Bava Batra connects the dots from Judges chapter 17 and 18 back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, offering some consolation to Moses' compromised lineage. Quote, it is not right to condemn Jonathan because he did not intend to commit idolatry. Rather, he erred in his understanding of the rabbinic dictum, one may commit idolatry, avodah zarah, in order not to be dependent on charity. Although avodah zarah is the idiomatic term for idolatry, in this case, it was supposed to be taken literally as strange work, meaning work that was alien to him. Thus, Bava Batra 110a. Jonathan's misunderstanding led him to become an idolatrous priest. If he were to return to the fold, says Luria, he would be entitled to his share of the priestly portions, along with his fellow Levites, in Deuteronomy 18:8. Why did Jonathan go astray? Because of his patrimony, thus interpreting Mim Karav al Ha'avot in verse 8, referring to a unique tradition in the Mechilta that as a condition of his marriage to Zipporah, Moses agreed to raise his firstborn Gershom, Jonathan's father, in his father-in-law Jethro's idolatrous faith. And so the matter comes full circle, mitgalgel, Luria concludes. That is how the young Levite came to be an idolater. The sojourning Levites, Gershom, direct our attention to Moses' son, Gershom. Bavabatra 109b, as glossed by Rabbi Steinsaltz, spells out the lesson. Rabbi Elazar says, a person should always cleave to good people, meaning one should marry a woman from a good family, as this is beneficial for the offspring of that marriage. As in the case of Moses, who married a daughter of Yitro, who was a priest of idolatry, Jonathan, who was also a priest of idolatry, descended from him. In the somber unfolding of the Talmudic Glorianic interpretation, the anonymous Levite of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 6, is identified with the grandson of Moses, a cautionary figure whose descent into idolatry is the consequence of his father's intermarriage. Should he forsake his idolatry, however, he might yet rejoin his fellow Levites in the service of Hashem. Shabbat Shalom.
If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, and discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.